This is Pastor Mike, and I want to welcome you to CD5, entitled The Ultimate Terrorist. Everybody knows that after the rapture of the church, the Antichrist is going to set himself up as king and ruler of this earth. But in reality, my friends, he is not a ruler, he is a terrorist. Listen to the words of the scripture as it pertains to his appearance and what he will do on planet earth when he arrives. John, but First John. First, there's three. He got some other stuff back there. So he has more than one epistle. But this is the first epistle of John, chapter 2. We're going to read verses 15 through 18. While you're doing that, I want to see how good it is to see John and Linda in church with us today. And it's always a joy. They're coming back in March and spend some time with us, and we're looking forward to that. And it's also so good to have Brother Dill, Sister Dill's son, with us today. We're so happy to. Do I understand that your son is getting married today? Is there? Well, bless your heart, man. You're probably tickled to death about that, man. You've probably only supported him for 25 or 30 years, so it's good to see him gone. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, it is our custom to read together. We're going to read verses 15 through 18. So please join me in opening your heart and your lips and your. Let's just give God praise by reading his word through him. If you're there, you're ready, you're excited about God's word, shout, I am.
I am.
Let's read together. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God, the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. There's a promise to you right there, folks, that no matter what happens in this world, if you are in Christ and Christ is in you, you will live forever. Turn to somebody before you sit down and tell them that's good news right there. We come to part 5 of the series that I've been preaching on, What You Don't Know Can Kill You. We've talked about the Muslim faith. We talked about the Israel connection. In part 3, we talked about the power of oil. Part 4, we visited the vanishing point, the rapture of the church. And now today in part 5, I want to talk to you about the ultimate terrorist. When I was a child, I vividly remember those sermons preached by passionate men of God about the Antichrist, that coming ruler who would wreak havoc upon the earth after the rapture of the church. It was preached that this single man would rule the world with an iron fist. And frankly, even then, I could not imagine how such a thing could ever happen. But can I say that today it is much easier to envision the possibility of such a world ruler? With the increase of knowledge as it pertains to technology primarily, for the first time in history, we have an instant global communication network. CNN is literally seen everywhere in the world. The internet, satellite cell phones have the capacity to reach every country on the face of the earth. I recently saw a documentary about the revolutionary armies who live in the jungles of Colombia. And I was amazed to discover their ability to communicate with the outside world through satellite cell phones. Even air transportation has shrunk the planet to the point where we can set foot on the soil of any nation in the world in a matter of hours. I've heard that there are now missiles that can reach any part of the world in fewer than 30 minutes. Brothers and sisters, men and nations no longer live in isolation. There are also other factors that make it feasible for the emergence of a single world leader. The Word of God predicts that world chaos, instability, and disorder will increase as we approach the end of this age. I don't think there's anyone sitting in this place this morning can deny that it is happening as we speak. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 24 that there would be wars and rumors of wars, famines and earthquakes in various places. He also told us that just before these tensions explode into total world chaos, that the rapture of the church would depopulate much of the planet. If you did not get last week's message, we're going to have them on CD here in a few weeks, and I want you to get them and take them home so you can hear them. Last week, I told you and showed you in God's Word that there will be a massive evacuation of the saints of God from planet Earth when the rapture takes place. And when all devastation takes place, hear me, there will be a worldwide outcry for relief and order at any cost. This outcry will set the stage for the emergence of this new world leader that Scripture defines as the Antichrist. He will have the power to negotiate world peace and promise order and security. And like the Pied Piper fable, all who hear him will follow him. Just the very word Antichrist sends a shudder through the hearts of Christians. Most, if not all, have heard or read of him. With some, the fear they experience comes largely from misunderstandings and confusion about who he is, when he will appear, and what powers he can exercise over God's people. Well, it's my prayer that after this message today, you will have a better understanding and all those fears and questions will be dispelled. You see, in the New Testament, the word Antichrist is used 4 times, each time by the Apostle John. As the word suggests, Antichrist is a person who is against Christ, the prefix, anti. And hear me when I tell you, the Antichrist I speak of today will aggressively live up to his name. He will, in fact, be Satan's Superman, who will persecute, torture, and kill the people of God. He will also be the general who will lead the armies of the world into the climactic battle Scripture defines and calls the Battle of Armageddon. This man will make Caesar, Nero, Hitler, Mao, and Saddam Hussein look weak and tame by comparison. Although the name Antichrist is only identified 4 times in the Bible, he also appears under various aliases, such as the prince who is to come. That's what Daniel called him. A fierce king, a master of intrigue, a despicable man. Zechariah called him a worthless shepherd. Paul said he is the one who brings destruction, the lawless one, the evil man, and John the Revelator refers to him as the beast. Although the Antichrist is introduced and described by various means, his true identity in the world has yet to be revealed. However, this has not stopped incredible speculation about who he is. Matter of fact, if you Google who is the Antichrist, you will get about 1.5 million hits. It is amazing to me the fascination the world already has with this creature called the Antichrist. I remember some of the older saints that when Hitler was establishing his reign of terror in Europe, many believed that he was in fact the Antichrist. He even offered himself as the Messiah with a divine mission to save Germany. He once compared himself to Jesus by reminding his listeners that like Christ, he was driving the Jews out of the temple. At a Nuremberg rally, there was a giant photo of Hitler which carried the following caption, "In the beginning was the Word." In my young years, I remember many saying that President John F. Kennedy was the Antichrist. What signs pointed to him? Some said that he went through death and resurrection as a PT boat commander in the South Pacific during World War II. At the Democratic Convention in 1956, he received 666 votes. 666 being the number of the Antichrist. After he was elected president, he was assassinated by a shot through the head, which is what the Bible says will happen to the Antichrist. There were some who expected that while his body lay in state in the rotunda of the Capitol, that he in fact would rise from the dead and would announce himself as world leader. It did not happen. Although there have been several others who have been identified, the identity of the Antichrist is still a mystery that will not be revealed until the bride of Christ is removed from planet Earth. So let me give you a warning right here. If you ever figure out who he is, that means you have been left behind. A dreadful thought. What it is not yet possible to know is his true identity. The Bible is full of information about him. Let's explore some of that information so we may better know him. First of all, the Bible declares that he will be a charismatic leader. Daniel said in chapter 7, verses 7, 8, and 25, that in a vision given by God, he saw this man who is called the beast. He had the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words. That with his mouth he spoke against the Most High God. You see, he will be able to speak with such authority and charisma that he will be able to sway the masses with spellbinding words of power and promise. It never ceases to amaze me that a man who was a junior senator with little political experience could become the president of the United States. But have you ever heard this man speak? Whether we like him, voted for him or not, Barack Obama is a powerful orator. The Antichrist will speak with such elegance that it will capture the attention and the admiration of the entire world. The Bible is true when it says that there is power in your words. Not only will he be a man of eloquent speech, but he will speak pompous words against the one true God. John recorded in Revelation that he would be given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Daniel also tells us in chapter 7 that the appearance of the Antichrist was greater than his fellows. In other words, he is a strikingly handsome man. The combination of his magnetic personality, his speaking ability, and extreme good looks will make him virtually irresistible to the masses. People will flock to him like bees to the honeycomb and will do whatever he asks them to do. Not only is he charismatic, but he will be cunning. According to Bible prophecy, he will take over three European nations one by one, not by making war, but by clever political manipulation. He comes under the guise of peace and he seizes the kingdoms by intrigue. He will be a political genius, a masterful diplomat, and a clever leader. I hope you understand that Satan has observed and studied humanity for over 6,000 years. He knows how to dazzle people, how to gratify their cravings. He has the power to delight the ear with music and the eye with beauty. He is a pro at exalting people to lofty heights of world greatness and fame. And all of these powers he will give to the Antichrist. There have been many great leaders who have attempted to bring peace to the Middle East. Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, even George Bush. All three made valiant attempts while president to bring the two sides to the table of peace. Probably no diplomat worked harder than Henry Kissinger. Now Hillary has been quoted as saying that she will force the Palestinians and the Israelis to settle their differences and sign peace accords. But listen to me. True and lasting peace will not happen until the day that this cunning super leader appears on the scene. Where everyone else has failed, he will succeed. Not only will he be charismatic and cunning, but he will be a cruel leader. Once again, the prophet Daniel tells us in chapter 7 that the Antichrist will devour the whole world. He will tread the world down. He will literally break it into pieces. Something is going to happen during his 7-year reign that will agitate him to the point that he will unleash his immense torture machine upon humanity. Slowly, painfully, through torture and persecution, he will wear down the people until they will pray for death. Charles Colson, in his book about Nazi concentration camp, compares the acts of the Antichrist to Hitler's regime. Because of the immense cruelty, many prisoners would go mad and run from their work only to be shot by guards or electrocuted by the fence. Anything to escape the pain of their lives. So will it be when the Antichrist starts his reign of terror. In the 12th and 13th chapters of Revelations, we see a profile of this coming world leader. When you link Revelations with the prophecy found in Daniel, you get a clear picture of what he will be like and how he will come to power. First of all, we discover that he will be politically inconspicuous. In other words, he will not make a big splash when he arrives on the political scene. He will not just one day stand up and declare, "Here I am, and I'm taking over." But little by little, he will emerge from among many minor politicians. The Bible calls him a little horn who methodically begins to grasp more and more power. John writes that he saw him rising up out of the sea. What he was describing was this seemingly insignificant man rising up out of a sea of humanity to become a powerful influence. We also discover that he will emerge from a Gentile nation. Many people believe that in order for the Antichrist to be able to form a peace alliance with the Jews, he must be Jewish. But there is no scriptural basis for such a view. In fact, the Bible teaches just the opposite. The scripture is clear that he will emerge from one of the unified European nations. Nations made up of Gentiles, not Jews. Now there is even discussion that he will emerge from a Muslim nation who is part of the unified European nations. Next, we discover that he will be spiritually blasphemous. Remember, I told you that Daniel said he will speak with pompous words against God. Well, Paul elaborates on this by saying that he will exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped. that he in fact will set himself up as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Paul warned us in Romans chapter 1 that it is a dreadful thing to worship the creature instead of the Creator. But hear me, when this man declares himself to be God, he will demand the worship of all the people. And the Bible says they will bow down to his authority. Although he wields great power, he has limitations. I am so glad that as a child of God, I will not be here when this epitome of evil rules the world. But at the same time, the power of God is revealed in the fact that this satanic creature is not equal to God. You see, contrary to what the world may think, he will not have absolute power. Matter of fact, God has him on a chain, according to Revelation 13. He can only do what God allows him to do. Even his length of reign is determined by God. Understand, he has power, but God has also set the boundaries. My Lord. Finally, you must know that even though he has limitations, the Antichrist does have a program that he will implement. One of his first acts as world leader will be to make peace with Israel. And the Bible tells us clearly that for 3.5 years, he will honor that peace agreement. And for the first time in history, there will be true peace in Israel. But at that point, at the point of 3.5 years, he will change his tactics. He will drop all pretense of peace and adopt the program of terror unprecedented in human history. Then will come this leader's most sensational moment. He will be killed, actually be killed. He will suffer a fatal wound to his head. But to the astonishment of all the world, he will be raised back up to life by the power of his father, Satan. Now hear me right here. This is important. So there's no confusion. Satan does not have the power to raise anyone from the dead. If so, there would be no dead unbelievers anywhere. He would have already amassed a great army and sent them against us. So this resurrection is simply a counterfeit of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When this Antichrist seemingly comes back to life, he will assassinate the leaders of 3 countries in the European nation. And when the other nations witness this, they will immediately relinquish their power to him. It is then that he will be worshipped by all the people of the world. This is where we see the appearance of what is called the mark of the beast. Through his associate, the one called the false prophet, anyone who does not bear this mark will not be able to buy or sell in the world's economy. It'll either be on your hand or in your forehead. This mark has been a topic of discussion for many years. However, today, can I declare to you that the technology is in place to make this worldwide identification process a reality. Already on the market is a tiny chip called a RFID, or a radio frequency identification. It measures 0.05 by 0.05 millimeters and can easily be implanted under the skin. It is currently being used in retail operations, has been placed in pets. My little puppy that we got from the pound had one put in her. A few years ago, I read of a daycare center in Florida who was using this technology to keep track of its children. More recently, we are seeing it used in Alzheimer's patients in case they wander off or become lost. Listen to me. The tools are in place. Once the Antichrist has control over this technology, no one will be able to hide from his wrath. In his final act of rebellion against God, this vile person will set himself up in Jerusalem and desecrate the temple that has been rebuilt by the Jews. Yes, there will be another temple built in Jerusalem. That's a whole other study. All the elements are in place right now for the resurrection of this new temple. And during his reign upon the throne of this temple, he will attempt to annihilate every Jew off the face of the earth. It is at this time that Christ will come the second time. And I might add, the saints of God who were raptured with him will come with him. And in that battle, this Antichrist will be killed and his forces destroyed. And Christ will assume his throne as rightful king and ruler of all the universe. While we were at prayer conference, oh, I'm telling you, talk about my soul soaring. Dr. Brian Cutshaw showed a picture of the east wall of the old city of Jerusalem. As you know, on the eastern wall, there is an eastern gate. Of all the gates to the city, it's the only one that has been sealed up. Every brick and stone has been put into place with concrete, and no one can enter or exit the eastern gate. To make it even more inaccessible, they have put a Muslim cemetery right in front of the gate. You and I, as Gentiles, are not allowed to walk on that sacred ground. If a Jew was caught in that Muslim cemetery, he would be executed. They have done everything within their power to keep anyone from going through that gate. But can I declare to you in the name of the Lord, that on that day, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Bible said that, oh, I'm getting warmed up. The Bible says that on that day, when he shall come back the second time with all of his saints, that he'll be riding a white horse. And that when he comes down, he will actually put his feet on the Mount of Olives. Did you know that in all the area of Israel, there is only one fissure, there is only one crack, one crevice in all of Jerusalem, and it runs through the middle of the Mount of Olives. And when Jesus gets off of his horse and he steps on that soil, the Bible said that the Mount of Olives will split asunder and the eastern gate will open up. And if there's any Muslim graves in the way, they'll have to move aside, because the King of Glory will ride through the eastern gate and establish his kingdom upon the world. Oh, can you give him praise? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So, Pastor, what do you believe? Well, here's what I believe. Somewhere at this moment, there is a young man growing to maturity. In all likelihood, he is a sulking yet thoughtful young man. But inside of his heart, there is a hellish rage. It boils like molten lava. He hates God. He despises Jesus Christ. He detests the church. Already the dream of conquest is taking shape. He will present himself as a friend of Christ and his church. Yet once in power, he will become the ultimate terrorist. The tenderness of this once innocent child will be shaped by his father, the devil, into the terror of the Antichrist. More than ever before, I realize the picture I painted for you today is one of horror. It has the power to fill your heart with despair and even paralyze you with fear. But can I just declare, as evil as this man called the Antichrist will be, I am not looking for the Antichrist. I am looking for Jesus Christ. And Jesus told us in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not true, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Hallelujah! I recognize, I know that the Antichrist will be birthed and controlled by the father of lies and deceit. But I'm so glad this morning on Valentine's Day that I serve the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And because my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, I will not experience the ultimate terrorist, but for 7 years I will be in the presence of the Lord, rejoicing around the marriage supper of the Lamb. I've come to tell you, this is not all there is. There is a promise of heaven. Jesus is coming. Oh, somebody get on your feet and give him praise. Jesus. Jesus. Somebody shout his name. Jesus. Jesus. I want to tell you something, and you better hear me. It has taken every ounce of strength I possess to preach this message. If there's any truth that Satan does not want you to hear, it is about the Antichrist. He wants you to think that if you miss the rapture, there's a chance, there's a possibility that you'll be saved in the tribulation. But I make this declaration all over this world, and I stand by it. If you cannot serve God at a time when you have the Holy Spirit to help you, to guard you, to seal you, don't stand there and tell me that you'll turn to Christ during the tribulation period. You will not do it. And you will die in your sins. And you will suffer eternal damnation. But I'm so glad. And oh, Sister Frieda, thank you for sharing this morning on this beautiful, lovely day that we're gathered in this house. I declare to you that there is still mercy and there is still grace. And if you open your heart to Jesus, he will come in. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Jay, can you find that altar music?